Hello and welcome back to the Roundtable on this Tuesday morning. Kind of a yucky day out there. It's 13 minutes after 9 o'clock Tuesday. Sleet everywhere and ice, and be careful if you're driving. That goes without saying. It is the Roundtable panel today. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, who is not feeling all that well. He reminded me a lot of the woman who sang Betty Davis Eyes this morning when he called. Our panel today, and if you want to join the discussion, it's panel@wamc.org. Our panel today is Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Nice to have you. You're applauding, Alan. Well done.
Thank you. We love Mikey.
We do. You call him Mikey?
Yeah, Mikey.
Can we call you Al?
No.
Okay.
But we call him Mikey because remember the old ad, you know, Mikey, hey, he likes it?
Yeah.
That's
terrific.
Life cereal or something?
Yeah.
And here is another panelist, journalism program director of UAlbany, Rosemary Armeo. Don't call her Rosie. Hi, Rosemary. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to have you here. Now, I see you're tweeting and
I'm looking
at your texting.
No,
you're
going to
follow along here?
Yes.
Oh, good
Alan
for you.
Yells at me if I use my computer.
Why? He's the worst offender.
I know.
What are you talking about?
I am not.
You're always looking at a device. And by the way, here's Alan Shartok. Hi, Alan.
Hi. You know what's in the lockbox now?
Jeez. Oh, no, I do have the sheet, but I'll pretend I don't know.
I love you, Ray. It's going fast.
Yes?
Very fast.
Okay.
We're up to 384,679.
Yeah.
So basically, we need, you know, what?
115,000 and change.
Yeah, to get to the, and we have.
To make the $500,000 point, which would be halfway in our fund drive, which starts 2 weeks from yesterday, February 6th.
I have nothing else to say except that it's a passion for all of us to keep it going. And when we see a president of the United States who says his guy come out and say, I'll never lie to you, we'll never lie to you, and then goes and says he lost the popular vote. Why? Because illegal immigrants voted. Now, it was a lie. And I have to say, Rosemary, as the professor of journalism on our panel, not to say anything about Mike's wonderful work as a journalist, it's extraordinary that you can send a guy out and make him lie, and then the next day, you can just tell a whopper. And the Times and the Washington Post say in their headlines, he's a whopper. It's a whopper.
Well, the Sean Spicer was kind of down the list, but we might as well go with that. You have introduced the topic. In today's Washington Post, Sean Spicer at press briefing, our intention is never to lie to you. He said, you're in the same boat. I mean, there are times when you guys tweet something out or write a story and you publish a correction. That doesn't mean that you were intentionally trying to deceive readers and the American people, does it? And I think that we should be afforded the same opportunity. That was Sean Spicer yesterday at a less confrontational press conference.
I was watching the lady who used to be called Chris Capostasi.
Chris Jensen,
yeah. Right. And she said that she's known him for a long time on the air. And she said, and, you know, he's well-liked.
Yeah.
Spicer.
Yeah.
Not Trump.
No, not Trump. Yeah, Spicer.
Did you happen to see the press conference?
I have not found him likable so far. Yes, I watched it after the fact. And I would not be looking for Mr. Spicer to pivot any more than the president. I think we're seeing an unprecedented and very powerful attack on the media. It starts with the spokesman, but it goes to the president's use of social media. He has sent two political operatives to the Voice of America, newly changed by congressional law, so that it's no longer governed by a board of governors that kept protected the integrity. It's now answerable to a CEO appointed by the president. I'd love to hear what George Orwell has to say about this. Sounds a lot like a ministry of the truth.
Voice of America has always been a propaganda arm, has it not?
Until this recent law, it was never allowed to broadcast into the United States. So we now have a government-controlled propaganda agency that will broadcast to American people. Not on my list of trusted sources.
Well, going back to Sean Spicer, after he made his first meeting with the press on Saturday and asserted that there were more people at the presidential Donald Trump's inauguration than any other president in history, period, and he asserted that, Ari Fleischer, who was George W. Bush's press secretary, said, "That sounds exactly like a press secretary that's told to say exactly what he said." I mean, he must be under an enormous amount of pressure. I think all these press secretaries are. Some of them handle it differently. You remember Gerald Terhast, who was Gerry Ford's press secretary. He was a respected journalist. He was not informed ahead of time when Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, former President Nixon, and just quit. So that was it. And all that. So.
Well, I think Spicer, obviously, under the microscope, and perhaps we've never had a press secretary who has been under the microscope quite so much.
Ron
right out
Ziegler?
Of the chute. Right
Ron
out of the chute?
No, that's true. We're not right out
I mean,
of the
day
chute.
One.
Yeah.
And perhaps going and confronting the media on day one, maybe not the best plan.
Perhaps.
Yeah, you know, I think of, you know, you go home and you see your wonderful wife and you say, "Oh, it was a tough day. Shattuck said this." You know, this.
Yeah.
This happened. Can you imagine being.
Yeah.
It's imagine going, being Sean Spicer and going home.
How are you doing? It's straight for the shivis at that point. Yeah, you make a good point.
Well, it can only get better, dear.
The media needs to step up. The attention is on Sean Spicer. He isn't going to change. He's going to do whatever Trump wants him to do. The media is the one that has to change, and that means sticking up for one another, which we don't do very well. Somebody asks a question, and he belittles the reporter. The rest of them, they don't do very well at that.
I'm a little bothered by that. I understand what you're saying, and we need to stand up for the rights of the First Amendment, first of all, and we need to stand up for the rights of the news media. But I don't want to see it become where it's a collusion among the press. An independent media is an important component of our society.
And
I don't want to see.
And being competitive.
Isn't it a competitive thing? And
that's
somebody
exactly
shot
right.
down. Here's your chance to finally get a question.
Sorry, they're attacking all of us. And this is a time for.
I think as an institution, we need to stand together. We have our Society for Professional Journalists, and we have our other organizations. And in that sense, I agree that we need to stand strong. But to sort of plan how we're going to respond when certain things happen and do it in a systematic way like that is dangerous, too. I mean,
Mike,
it's not
you know,
one
I
press.
I love you. You're the voice of reason and the kindest person in the world, as Alan would say. But it's that kind of really old-school thinking that has gotten us in terrible
So what are you
trouble.
Saying? The press ought to just become one monolith?
I think the because press, ought to, walk, I think the press ought to walk out of the news conferences. They're worthless. They are. It's stand-up propaganda for the administration. We're not
How has this
news
changed from other press conferences?
Because.
And other presidents.
You don't see the difference between this press conference and Josh Earnest only last week answering questions? Seriously, I'm the only
but
one
But you're
who
still,
thinks that?
As a press spokesman for a president, you are supposed to advance the party line.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Sean Spicer's doing anything wrong. I think the media is doing something wrong by continuing. Why are we talking about this as like Sean Spicer's behavior? That's not news. The news out of the news conference
Couldn't
is
agree
the
more.
News conference. Stop it.
That's a good point. It's a great diversion, and we're talking about this instead of talking about.
Well,
you know,
we're going to get to the other things. But,
TPP, abortion.
Well,
name
we're
it.
Getting to all of that. Okay. Just, the whole order got thrown out of whack here.
Who was important? Was that my fault?
Yeah.
Was that Sean Spicer blinking the light, by the way? Was that
Did
a
you
signal?
See the strobe? It was like Studio 54
I know.
In here.
I almost had an epileptic seizure.
That's fine.
The FBI guy had his hand on the thing there.
All right. Now, listen, everybody calm down. We're going to take a break. The email address is panel@wamc.org. We're very close to off the rails. We'll try to slow down. We'll put the automatic braking on. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the roundtable on WAMC. 9:23 Tuesday morning. And boy, if you're driving around and you're just hitting the highway, there are some slick spots out there. So I want you to take it easy today. Everybody made it in okay. Alan, you had a long drive.
A long drive over from Great Barrington, fairly early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. But I have to say that the thruway was a little less clean. Usually you can eat off the thruway no matter what.
Which I've done.
Yeah, I know, I can see.
Yeah, at the hot shops, right?
But, delicious.
But once you go from the from the I-90 to the freebie 90. Yeah. Yeah, that's when the trouble begins. You know, that's the state takes care of it. That's over to the state. They take care of that. That's not as good.
The Department of Transportation kicks in.
Well, I don't know who does what, but I can tell you one thing. It's night and day.
Difference. You know, you do a good trap. We should get you up in a traffic cop. In fact, maybe for the next panel. The email address here is panel@wamc.org. And I know there were a couple of emails, and we'll read those before we get on to the next topic.
Okay. So Tim says, does Mr. Trump's federal hiring freeze, based as usual, per usual, on false data, include a hiring freeze on his cabinet nominees? That's funny. Hooray, finally something from Trump that I can get behind. Okay, there you go.
Good stuff.
And then there's Craig, who says, the discrepancy between the actual presidential election result and the skewed Electoral College calculation was so great that the Trump administration was founded on an alternative fact. No, you. For those who have been following this, you know, there's this whole debate about alternative facts. The fact is no longer a fact. No wonder we are living in a post-truth era. We have gone down the rabbit hole. And that's from Craig in Granville.
All right. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig. All right. My hands are hard.
That's all right.
All right. Okay. And Rich says, my feeling is this. Anybody who feels the need to assure you that they can be trusted probably can't. That's from Rich. Huh. I am not a crook.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again. Our email address is panel@wamc.org. Several countries say they hope to salvage the Trans-Pacific Partnership after Donald Trump's decision on a U.S. withdrawal from the trade pact casts its future in jeopardy. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull acknowledged Trump's move was a blow to the multinational agreement, but he suggested today that other nations, such as China, may be able to fill the void left by the U.S. Trump used one of his first actions in office to officially abandon the trade deal yesterday, dubbing it a detriment to American business. Now, remember, that's basically a formality since the agreement was never ratified by Congress.
Yes, but were we informally adhering to it is the question I have every time I see the story.
I don't think that had kicked in. I think it was still something that needed to roll out, and since Congress hasn't endorsed it. You know, even Bernie Sanders was saying he agrees with the Trump administration's move. This is a very controversial trade pact. The leverage that it gave these Asian countries and the United States over China was desirable from the U.S. perspective, but it had a lot of pitfalls, and it put too much power in this independent board that was run by companies, not governments. And when it was passed, the Congress, when it came up for vote in the Congress, they weren't even allowed to read it.
And you know, Mike, that's a very interesting question, because there are many people who write to us, Rosemary in particular, saying that Bernie Sanders could have won the election. And we know that this election was won probably more than for any other reason by people who really believed that they were being screwed over because of their manufacturing jobs and other things. So here you find Trump and Bernie basically on the same side on this. Leading to the question is, would those people have been there also for Bernie had he run? Are you following me? Is it too confusing?
Yeah, it's an old argument.
Is it? Oh, I'm so sorry.
He would have gotten some vote, some support for his trade views, but Bernie was untouched by that assassination machine that Trump ran.
And yeah,
he
we was don't a know. Socialist. They would have
so
come on him.
No way to argue this. On the TPP, I'm with Obama and Hillary. Hillary supported it at
and
first.
And then she didn't support
she
it.
She had weak support for it later, only because she was forced into it, of course.
Well, she said she was against
Bernie.
It.
And however, I think her original, yeah, she backed off because a pressure to take over the progressives that Bernie was leading at the time. I think she was right originally. I think we're headed towards massive trade wars. China has a huge advantage. They must be so happy right now. They've just signed 50 trade agreements with various Latin American countries. China is the player who would and will again now dominate in the Pacific Rim, companies that the TPP would have covered. There were big faults with it, no question. I hated the way they passed it through without transparency, but to just ditch it this way, throws us back into a world where there's no deals. It's a dog-eat-dog. Britain's in there now, too, as they leave Brexit. That's what Theresa May has in mind. So go at it. I can't see how workers right now benefit from any of this. I hope I'm wrong. I just don't see it.
Yeah, and there's a recent study, and no one has been talking about it, that if you had looked over the last 20 years on the manufacturing jobs, most of the manufacturing jobs have gone away because of automation. Only 13% of the manufacturing jobs are lost due to companies moving their manufacturing offshore, which I found to be a stunning revelation. So, the real issue is adapting to the post-manufacturing economy, not trying to resurrect a manufacturing economy when it's kind of gone.
Well, things still have to be made.
They do. They do. And they'll be made. If it's cheaper to make them here, they'll be made here. If it's cheaper to make them in China or Vietnam or Central America, they'll be made there.
Well, is Trump bullying the manufacturers? He's having them in again today and saying, don't do anything over there. If you do it, we're gonna tax you for coming back over the border. That may not be in their own interest as they see it from a profit motives, but are they going to get bullied? Are they going to acquiesce?
Well, they can acquiesce the way Carrier did. They decided not to move an entire operation out of Indiana to Mexico. Instead, they're going to use the $600 million that they got from now the Trump administration to automate and get rid of all those jobs and do it here.
You make a point. So,
well, if you have a point to make, we would love to hear from you. The email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. While you're emailing, I would suggest you go over to wamc.org and make a pledge at the lockbox. The fund drive starts on February 6th. Now, we only have about 10 seconds here before news.
So we got to do it because of the passion.
Because of the passion. And once again, our email address is panel@wamc.org. You're listening to the Roundtable, one solid hour straight ahead after news. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 934. You know, our engineer Rob Chacon picks the best bumper music of all.
He does.
We got
He's
some
terrific.
Bebop from the late 40s going here, and
he really knows his stuff.
He does know his stuff. And if you want to complain, it's panel@wamc.org. Maybe you're a folky, not enough banjo. Panel@wamc.org.
Watch it, Buster.
The panel today. Oh, God, what an all-star panel today. Mike Spain from the Knickerbocker News is here. Mike, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here.
And Rosemary, how is Barney Fallow doing?
He was writing for the Times Union when I was at the Knickerbocker News, but all of that is in the past.
Okay. Rosemary Armeo is here. Rosemary, nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And Alan as well. Nice to have you here as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wrote a column.
You did? Oh, yeah. Terrific. Now, when did that start?
Well, no, I've been writing a column for a long time, Berkshire Eagle, and there was I wrote a column about how you go to the co-op and you get a product that I call Googa Mooga. Googa Mooga. And Googa Mooga is this wonderful sort of harvest vegetable stew that they sell over to the co-op.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. So I walked in there last night, and the manager came up to me, a lovely lady, and she said, "We've been besieged by people who want Googa Mooga."
Yeah. So that's the power of radio. It's amazing.
How do you figure?
I can hear the crickets everywhere. thanks for bringing that to the table. Any email that you'd like to read before we move to the next
Anything
topic?
Anything you say.
All right.
Okay.
Sir.
Joshua says, Rosemary is right. Think of the freedom and liberty American trade deals bring to the third world countries. They get to make sense on the dollar, manufacturing American goods, and their governments are blissfully delegitimized by American corporations. It is truly a win-win all around. Tell that to the Momentive workers who you've never mentioned. Josh.
Momentive is the chemical factory, silicone factory in Waterford, Southern Saratoga County that's been on strike for several weeks.
Corporate power. Apart from the liberal conservative litmus test, the real issue is excessive corporate power. Trump won because of he hit that message, but in a phony way. Bernie Sanders gets it in an honest way. The Clinton Democrats don't get it, which is a big reason they lost. If the Democrats were smart, they'd take a page from Bernie and stand on the side of workers and consumers and push for corporate accountability to the larger public interest. Good morning, says Rita. I think the media is going to do a good job. Trump and I have faith in them that they will help get the truth out. Last night, I received a breaking news from New York Times that during the bipartisan conference with Trump, an anonymous told the Times that Trump is lying about losing the election due to illegal immigrants. Still going on about the election? I love it that there's anonymous telling us a report from the inside. It's probably Paul Ryan. Each negative report will push Trump psychologically over the edge. And on and on. Boy, there are a lot of letters here. Let's see. And here I got criticized.
Oh, good.
Barbara says, the snarky remark about the New York State Department of Transportation maintained free I-90 should be qualified by the fact, in capital letters, that funding for salt and maintenance worker seasonal hiring has been slashed by Cuomo. New York State Department of Transportation hands are tied, maybe because the road doesn't lead to Kathy's home in the Adirondacks. It's not worth paying attention to? Huh?
Who's Kathy?
I'm not sure who the writer is referring to.
But here's the interesting thing. I've been taking that road for as long as it's been open, and the thruway is always in much better condition than the I-90. Whether its budget has been what we call the freebie 90, whether or not the salt is disappearing because of Cuomo's cuts and the rest of it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you come in very early in the morning.
What makes you want to mean?
And that is a less traveled road. Perhaps it is a function of there's more north and south traffic on the thruway than on that freebie stretch when at 3 o'clock in the morning when you come in, there's not a lot of cars yet.
No, but don't you see? It's the I-90 is not north and south.
No, what
it's
I'm saying,
east and
what
west.
I'm saying is 87. If you're saying the thruway,
No. You are sadly mistaken. No, east and west is the I-90 extension.
Yes, yes.
That's the thruway extension that you could eat off.
It's the Berkshire spur of the thruway.
Correct.
Yes,
yeah,
but
correct.
Then when you get on to the freebie 90, which goes from the regular 90 to
I point out one other thing?
Yes.
It's January. This is our second storm.
Yes.
Even with the budget cut and the amount of salt reduced, we aren't running out of it. So
okay.
It's like kind of a not a good excuse.
And is this a panel or a triptych? I mean, enough with the roads, all right? Two Republican senators plan to propose legislation that lets states keep former President Obama's health care overhaul or opt for a new program providing trimmed-down coverage. The plan by Senators Bill Cassidy of Louisiana and Susan Collins of Maine would retreat from years of GOP cries to repeal Obamacare and replace it with a still undefined Republican alternative. It comes as GOP lawmakers face pressure from President Donald Trump to quickly void and replace the health law. And as Republicans continue hunting for a proposal that would unite them, Cassidy told reporters it's been a Republican principle that power is best held by individuals and states, not the federal government.
And that from Y'all and Yep. Y'all, Louisiana. Yep.
It's, I think it's just one other example of how difficult it's going to be to just throw out the Affordable Care Act. And,
yes.
And Republicans here are recognizing that in some way they have to protect people who have become reliant on it while they make whatever changes need to be made. And everybody had acknowledged on both sides of the aisle that Obamacare had flaws that needed to be corrected. Do you just correct the flaws and rename it Trump Care, or do you throw it out and then come up with something new and leave people high and dry? And apparently there's broad consensus that we have to transition to it right from the top. Paul Ryan says
but Mikey,
that.
Isn't it also the economics of the situation? If you say to individual states like New York or to California, you know, do your own and use the money the way you want. What about all those states? And by the way, wasn't the whole principle that you had to have enough of a base, enough people who were in it? So the moment you say each state can do what they want, you are basically diminishing the base that will pay for the Obamacare. So how does that work?
Well, states like New York and California
sure.
and Massachusetts had already demonstrated this with Romney Care, which is really what Obamacare is. More or less.
Yep.
You know, states with large populations that are committed to providing this health care will be able to do it. It's the smaller states that are going to be left out in this whole equation.
A doctor and a moderate Republican put this plan together, which is kind of interesting, except it's completely irrelevant. Trump doesn't like it. Most of their colleagues don't like it. It isn't going to happen. It's just one more. Oh, we have a plan. Here it is. Oh, we hate it. go back to the drawing board.
Well, I mean, it's the beginning of gridlock. If there's not going to be some compromise, right?
I mean, don't look at me.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
all I've seen is gridlock for 8 years, so I don't know how I would answer that question.
Right. Now you have a Republican in the White House, and presumably there would be an easier way to get legislation through. But more and more, we're seeing resistance from the leaders of the Republican Party, and showing how divisive it is. The head of the Freedom Caucus, which is basically the Tea Party members in Congress, is saying, no way, we can't do this. We got to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. So the pressure is on. I mean, already Republicans are fighting amongst themselves.
The email address is panel@wamc.org. I was waiting for you to fill the void.
Okay,
there,
and Cindy says, read this on Facebook from The Guardian. All right. Read this, I guess. That's one of those interesting words, isn't it?
Read.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Wind, wind. There's a lot.
Sewer.
Read and lead.
Sure.
The next time Donald Trump tries to single out a reporter, doesn't answer a question, the next reporter is allowed to speak should repeat the question of the journalist Trump has snubbed. And if Trump stops this reporter, too, then the next one should repeat the original question and so on. And I have to say, Rosemary has made this point many, many times.
Well, the Guardian also is writing about how the press cooperated so well. 400 reporters around the world spent a year going through leaked documents that came out with the Panama Papers, a huge expose of how the wealthy and politically connected around the globe were using offshore havens in Panama. And there are people now suggesting that the same might be done with Mr. Trump to consortia that would look into his dealings and
share resources, and that would bridge the gap that's there now.
I love it.
Yeah.
And Russell says, he checks in, Trump can threaten companies to do anything he wants, but we can't get the, quote, jobs back without being willing to pay much more for the products we buy that are made in China, Vietnam, etc. Americans love discount pricing, and the manufacturers love to make the ridiculous profits. We can't have our cake and eat it, too, without making the products elsewhere. And that's from Russell.
I think that the Trump administration is trying to lower pricing. They're cutting regs, which means it'll be cheaper to make things. They're battling with unions. He's got the auto company executives in his office this morning, which means wages are not going to go up. He's cutting the federal government costs. So he is making a concerted effort to bring down the cost of our manufactured goods.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's boasting 70. He's saying that he'll reduce government regulations by 75%, which is purely an exaggeration, you know.
Most Republicans would say, I don't know how you will get
75%. Oh, sure, people are skeptical of it, but it does signal his intention to deregulate. Just how much money does that really save?
Well, and of course, it's the balance that's being disturbed. We used to be there, and then we decided, we sort of liked things like clean air and water, and so went the other way, and now we're going to give them up. You know, Beijing has excellent employment. Well, we don't really know what ours is. Sean Spicer's not giving out the numbers anymore, but China has excellent. You can't breathe in the cities, but
they
have jobs.
If you wear a mask, it's okay.
Yeah, if you wear, yeah.
Dr. Lisa checks in inside the White House. Fury, tumult, and a reboot describes how Trump is raging about how the press continues to delegitimize him by downplaying his crowd size, etc. It's tragic to have a president whose fragile ego trumps all else. Well, you can buy it that way, or Dr. Lisa, or you can also suggest that maybe, and we've been talking about this a lot, and a lot of people have been writing about this. This is all a hoax. This business about getting on the case about things like that really does take away the incredible stuff that was happening in the White House yesterday.
The email address is panel@wamc.org. We have to take a brief break, and then we'll be back. We'll shift gears. It's the WAMC panel, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Joe not feeling all that well today. And so we said, I'll give it a rest. Give the voice a rest. You sound better tomorrow. And our panel is Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. You, of course, can weigh in. panel@wamc.org. 9:47, about halfway through the panel today. And before we get to our next topic, Alan, anything more way of email?
There are a few things. Thank you, Ray. I'm surprised that none of the panel members have commented on the Trump administration's executive order to refuse funds to countries who provide any information to women on abortion.
Stand by. That's next.
This after the huge marches last weekend. So we're just teasing what's coming up.
That's right. Dramatic foreshadowing.
Okay, and then we heard from Lawrence, who says, I found it curious for some time now. No one seems to connect the fact that domestic manufacturing, which of course comes with a significantly higher sticker price, will simply lead to higher prices for every widget made here. We've discussed that today,
the very thing.
Is the American public really willing to pay more for the products we've been importing so cheaply for decades? And we've heard from John, a frequent critic. Here's the latest numbers. Alan, is it just wishful thinking that those trending to the 20% approval rating? Seems, as per his union meetings yesterday, he's shoring up his working class support. Now, John sends us this, but he doesn't tell us where it's coming from. And he says that Trump now has a 45% approval rating. You know, I'd like to see where that comes from.
That sounds reasonable. I mean, it's up a little bit probably now that he's done some things that he promised he would do, and he's taken office. He's kind of past Friday's dark speech.
But still, as long as you're taking the trouble to chide us, it would be good to
cite a source.
Okay,
all right.
It's probably above 140 characters.
It was anyway. Augusta. Dear panel, the TPP includes the investor-state dispute settlement, ISDS, process, which allows corporations to sue countries over loss projected in capital, that is, profits, forcing countries to abandon or void their laws protecting their workers, consumers, and environment. Yes, Trump dumped on it for the wrong reasons, but it was a bad agreement. And that's Gus, who was listening where? In San Francisco.
If you're going to San Francisco. Oh. President Trump is reinstating a ban on providing federal money to international groups that perform abortions or provide information on the option. The regulation, it's been a political football, instituted by Republican administrations, rescinded by Democratic ones since 1984. Most recently, President Obama ended the ban in 2009. Trump signed it one day after the January 22nd anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision in 1973 that legalized abortion in the U.S., the date which is traditionally when presidents take action on the policy. The policy also prohibits taxpayer funding for groups that lobby to legalize abortion or promote it as a family planning method. Who wants to go first?
Okay, I'm the woman, so I'll go. I think it's terrible, completely predictable. I think the U.S. government, like I might add, the Catholic Church, are no real friend to poor women, to families in poor countries. However, abortion is a terrible method of birth control, and as long as contraception is allowed and preached, I could totally live with this.
Michael.
No, I think that's the real issue.
Yep.
What this does is it brings some immediate praise from the Right to Life organizations, and that's what happened yesterday. They issued statements that praised President Trump for his executive order. But it really isn't the issue. The issue is trying to educate people. The more you're educated, the more you know about the options available, the more you can make the right decisions about your own, your own decisions on whether to have children. And it should be a decision, and it shouldn't be confronted after the fact. And I don't think that many people disagree with that. A few people might, but most people agree that if we would fund education and make birth control available to third world countries, that would have the best results.
Well, now what education specifically do we need? I mean, most people can figure out that if you, may have a kid.
Not true. No,
most people didn't figure that out?
Only after the fact.
It took a couple of kids for me to figure it out.
There's cultural differences in different countries, and people are, reluctant to use birth control. But studies have shown.
Study after study,
that the more educated the population, the more the lower the birth rate and the more control over people's reproductive organs people have, I guess,
Alan.
Well, we have a lot of letters. I don't even know where to begin. My favorite of the day comes from Flagrant Rivers, who says, thank you so much for all your work. The show is now my only news source besides the BBC. Dropbox, here I come.
It's a lockbox.
Lockbox, Dropbox, it's all good money.
You should read more, though, than just listening to those two. I'm sorry, I like both of those news sources, but don't limit yourself.
Okay. This is opining more than anything. I mean, you'll get some facts, but this is
in the process, you'll learn a few things.
Right.
I knitted a pink hat for Rosemary. Love her. And if he likes, I'll make one for Alan, too. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Not for Michelle, sure.
Get rid of that baseball hat you've been wearing since 1976.
Well, I want a pink hat. Yeah, yeah.
They were selling them at the March out of boxes with Chinese lettering on bucks.
Where's the money going for those?
Well, I stood next to the vendor to and the said, don't buy that. Send it to Planned Parenthood. Don't buy that. Send it to Planned Parenthood.
Did you really?
I did.
You must have been very popular.
He was not happy. I said, but I'll buy your hoodie. He wore a hoodie that said Black Lives Matter. And he laughed. Then he laughed. Okay.
Tom says, good morning, Roundtable. Good morning, Roundtable. I want the Trump administration to offer free vasectomies to any male that wants one and refuse to pay for free Viagra.
Yeah.
Those are very interesting issues.
Yeah, our laws are totally sexist.
Viagra's free?
You can pay for it with government programs.
Medicaid will pay for Viagra. I mean, there was a bill in the legislature in Albany for New York State to stop providing Viagra and other medications like it for people who are sex offenders. It wasn't automatic.
Yeah, that's true. There's a sales tax removed, but existed for a long time in New York on feminine hygiene products. You know, men don't have but there's no war on women. This is just a coincidence.
Glenn says that the numbers came from Gallup.
Okay.
I'm not
sure what you're referring to, but
remember the 45%
the approval rating for Trump?
Disapproval that's and approved. 45%.
I think he was reasonable. Expecting a bump, yeah.
Okay, 45. Let's see here. Good morning, panel. You folks are my sanity. You're terrific. I believe the only way to get the attention of the Trump oligarchy following the Women's March is the real catalyst for change at money and power. Boycott and strike. Boycott Exxon from Susan in Gilbertville, Massachusetts. All right. Well, no, I think there are going to be some follow-up things, which I know about, but which I'm not permitted to.
What are you talking about?
Well, I think that, there was the marches. And then the question was everybody going to now go away?
And will you know of something?
So you have some confidential information?
I do.
Spell it.
I can't because I was sworn to secrecy by a close family member who I would like to.
So it was your wife.
Keep in my bed. Yeah. So that that can't happen.
It's actually pretty funny.
Good heavens.
As sexist as the overtone was, that makes me laugh.
So Mark says, it is part of the media's fault that the Affordable Care Act is being challenged. The media calls it Obamacare because the name is a soundbite, and this helped to lead to partisan criticism and the call of getting rid of the plan as a whole rather than trying to fix it. Look at how many people, when asked, said they were for affordable care and against Obamacare.
Well, the president also embraced it. So
I mean, Romney used it all during the campaign, and then President Obama said, I like having it called after me because I'm proud of it,
Sure. And then Eileen says, let small states buy from mass in California and New York. It's a win-win. In my life, the ACA is a lifesaver. Neither me or my husband have any benefits at work. Thanks for your caring attention to these talking points. And that's from Eileen.
Yes, because insurance is so cheap in New York and California. That's a great plan.
Well, and Eileen is I can tell you a little about Eileen. Would you like to hear?
Yeah, sure.
She's a mezzo-soprano.
Oh, really?
A soloist. And a voice teacher at one of our favorite places in the world, Mount Holyoke College.
I'll be darned.
Okay. There's more here. Okay. And Kathleen says, there's a tremendous movement of resistance. We've already written postcards to our representatives, sent Twitter message to Utah newspapers to highlight Jacob Chaffetz's harassment of Director Walter Schaub and made phone calls to Congress. Everyone I know is sharing ideas via online resistance sites and acting. Hope? Question mark? Exclamation mark.
Okay, so you folks, presumably, maybe not Mike, but I know Rosemary, you maybe could consider yourself perhaps in this resistance. My question is, how can a resistance have any focus on day one, on the day someone is inaugurated and hasn't done anything yet? How can you do that?
Well, because we know what he said.
Because you don't like him? Because you're
sidelined? First of all, I regret and resent the fact that you would try to pigeonhole me as a resistor. That's the first thing.
Remember to feed the lockbox.
The second thing, Raymond, is that, you're just wrong. Okay. Paul says...
Well, I could answer that. I I am in the resistance. Yeah. I wish to be in the resistance. It's not like he's a vacuum. It's only 3 days he's been telegraphing. And now, in 3 days, actually acting on several of the issues that I care about. Press freedom. He is a danger to press freedom, as declared by the Committee to mm-hmm. Protect Journalists.
Yeah, that's what it's
and
say.
he has signed the Helms Amendment. So he's not a friend of reproductive rights. So, of course, I'm working on with groups, sending money to petition signing, and I will do more.
Well, I heard yesterday that everybody was being urged to send a postcard to the president. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that was they wanted actual snail. We can't say snail mail. The postal official
surface mail.
Yeah, surface mail. Okay, surface mail to the president. And I'm sorry, I missed that. I didn't see it until today.
Well, what good is that going to do? You're going to send it because it's an image. Message to Santa Claus too. Is it going to get read?
Well, actually, there are stories every year about all the messages that go to Santa Claus, right? It's an image. Well, and if you have a big pile of mail, all saying, please save affordable care.
Miracle,
yes,
Miracle on 34th Street. That's the whole premise. Okay, and then Trump wants to repeal the ACA in order to give a huge tax break to those making over $200,000 and his billionaire friends who currently provide the extra funds through taxes required to make the ACA work. Repeal is not about improving and lowering costs or delivering health care. And that's from Paul in Leverett, Massachusetts.
All right, we'll leave it there, Paul, and thank you very much. The email is panel@wamc.org. This is the Roundtable Panel. Now the value-added portion is straight ahead from 10 a.m. until about 10:25.
Was that a shot?
Slightly. And we'll be back after news. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Tuesday morning, sleet-filled, 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the panel today with Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. The lockbox now up to over $385,000. If you want to make a pledge, our fund drive starts less than 2 weeks from now, Monday, February 6th, and we got to make $500,000. That's halfway through the drive.
Now, you know, some people sit on their hands during elections.
Yeah.
And you see that there are some unanticipated results as a result of that. Word to the wise. Okay, we heard from Richard, who said Comey is staying as director of FBI under Trump. Are we surprised? A couple of things. First of all, Comey has a fixed term. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would have been maybe a little bit tougher to get him out.
You think if the president had asked for his resignation, he would decline?
Unclear. I do know one thing. He's owed.
When did the fixed term begin? Hoover was the head I think of that it was for after, hundreds of years.
I think that's what happened. Yeah. I think it was all Hoover.
It's a reform.
I think it was all Hoover, and then they said, we can't have that happen anymore. Yeah. But in any case, the first thing is that he has a fixed term. The second thing is, who knows what went back and forth between Trump and Comey? After all, there are many of us
are
who
Are you
think,
saying prior to the election?
No, I mean, oh. well, I mean, prior, after, I can tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. Comey was certainly one of those deciding factors. In this election.
Well, aside from that, I mean, and therefore, we know of no collusion between the Trump campaign and the FBI director.
We know that a week before the Comey bombshell, Rudy Giuliani, the Trump surrogate, was on air boasting about, wait till you see what's coming.
Yeah, so he had heard.
And
about
he has
that.
Lots of connections with FBI agents in New York. Well, so people, there are questions unanswered yet. Yeah.
Some people are afraid that if Comey were to step down and be asked to resign and step down, that Trump might have named Rudy Giuliani as the FBI director.
Correct.
And maybe that was a,
I don't think
a
so.
Better thing to keep him where he is.
My bet is that if they were going to name Rudy Giuliani to anything, it was going to be Attorney General. And clearly they didn't want to do that for whatever reason, nor did he want to take that. Well, that's what he was saying anyway. You can either believe him or not. But clearly he didn't take that, and that's where he would have been really dangerous.
He would be dangerous, wherever you put him. He wanted Secretary of State. Yeah. That sends chills down my spine.
Okay. So, are we surprised? No, we're not surprised. All right. Let's see here.
Are you just throwing those on the floor, or is there a basket there?
No. We remember the old days. Joe would have the basket behind.
Yeah, the recycling basket, yeah.
Right. So, he would hand them to me when Sarah LaDuke came in with them.
Correct.
I would then put them into the, hand them back to,
yeah,
I'd read them, and I'd hand them, and then I'd hand them back to Joe.
Sure.
Well, don't you know, I was getting carpal tunnel syndrome, you know, in the right shoulder, in the right wrist. So, then one day we had this fantastic idea. Why don't we put the recycle basket right behind me, don't you see?
Oh, God, you're brilliant. Okay, that's great. Thanks.
Thanks
for
what?
You for being so smart and being you. We love you.
Tony the Beekeeper. If we started producing high-quality products in the U.S. that were repairable, like they used to be, and used environmentally sound practices, yes, prices would be higher, but people would think twice about throwing stuff away and filling the landfills. Anybody?
Well, the quality of products in general, consumer items, has gone down. It's cheaper to buy a cheap radio or a cheap appliance, and when it breaks, throw it away than to spend $200 or $300 on a really super mixer that will last until your grandchildren inherit it from you.
But that's not true about cars, is it? In other words, I think everything I'm reading is that cars last a much longer time.
I agree. I think that is a distinctive exception to what I was saying. I'm thinking about small consumer items have been
it's true about washing
much
machines.
More
not
yeah,
just
washing
the
machines
small
do
ones.
Not last.
Nope.
Yeah, appliances do not last like they used to.
Refrigerators don't last.
And there are
ice boxes.
Yeah, the ice, right, ice boxes. They planned for them to only last a certain amount of time so that they can just keep selling you new ones.
I am so old, I truly remember on our vacation home in Seaside Park, New Jersey, the guy coming with ice on his shoulder, a block of ice, and tongs around. Can you imagine?
Did he skim it off the lake in the middle of winter and store it in sawdust in the barn?
Another nostalgic moment.
Yeah.
And we did it on
Lowell Thomas too. Remembers. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Lowell Thomas.
I'm done.
Okay. Casey says, Catherine says, do you know if Donald Trump and Ivanka have bought the manufacturing of his clothing back to the USA? That's an interesting question.
I don't know.
Do you think they'll be fined if they don't? I'm sorry, dear, but I have to do it to you.
Josh,
here's your check. There's
good
your
question.
Josh says, I hope all the veterans who voted for Trump realize that when they and their fellow service member on the brink of taking their own life go to the VA for help, there may not be a psychiatrist there to see them due to the hiring freeze. Well, it is. I don't know. See, the freeze is not going to affect Defense Department.
Right, but the VA is not part of the Defense
Department.
It's
not part of Defense. And I have a friend who is applying for a job, interviewing for a job with immigration, and they're desperate to hire as many as they can before the freeze, which is now in effect, took effect, because they have 30,000 people waiting right now to get a word on asylum in the U.S.
Hmm.
So the obvious conclusion we come to is Trump doesn't care about the 30,000, right?
Of course not. Well, yeah. They're not Americans. America first.
Mike?
Well, no, I mean, that may well be. They might not be a priority for him, but he is trying to, fulfill a campaign promise, and that is cut the size of government, and a hiring freeze is, one way to do it.
They all do that. Cuomo did. I think a lot of them do it.
I mean, currently, the current state budget under Governor Andrew Cuomo's proposed state budget would pretty much keep the state workforce where it is, or even actually down by about 1%, according to a story we had today in the Times Union. I mean, the idea is that they're learning to do things with fewer people by contracting out.
Because there's always attrition. All right. Stewart says, unlike a 10-year-old who our president seems to emulate, Mr. Trump would not likely mature in his thinking, vicious verbal attacks on tweets. Therefore, wouldn't it be nice for all of you and our nation's press to stop dwelling on Trump's retorts and verbal retaliations and focus on what he and his cabinet actually do. I take it, Stuart, you were listening earlier in the program when we said exactly that, right? Okay.
But I don't think Rosemary agrees with you.
You don't think I agree
with you? You want to react to the tweets and the statements,
I don't.
Do you not?
I think we're totally distracted by them.
Yeah. Jack says, the White House telephone lines were shut down yesterday, according to news commentary, because of the number of calls being received. I personally called 5 Republican senators who were willing to listen to preserving the ACA and making the necessary changes to make it work. And that's Jack from Worthington, Massachusetts.
Well, if you have 5 Republicans, even just 5 Republicans, and the Democrats stand united, they're not going to be able to get rid of it. They can do things that will defund it, and it will make it work even less well.
Good point, Mike.
That's
good point.
Point.
Good point. Mary says, hi, panel. The resistance movement's mail campaign is admirable, but mail to Congress has to go through security, which apparently always delays delivery by about 2 weeks. By that time, Trump cabinet nominees may already have been approved. Phone calls are said to be the most effective way anyhow. And that's
What's happening with the White House phone system? The internet is filled with traffic about that. That there's no longer humans. You get a an automated system, and you just leave a message. No one responds. And I don't know if that's maybe
press
good efficiency.
To leave a message. Right.
Yeah, it might be good efficiency.
Press one to leave a positive message. Press two to leave a negative message.
Dial tone.
And here's a great missile from Josh in Albany, who says, "Good morning, panel. I saw this meme last night and had to share it with you. Have a great day." It's a picture of Winston Churchill. During World War II, Churchill was asked to cut funding for the arts. He replied, "Then what are we fighting for?"
There you go. The email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Mike Spain, I didn't get a chance to print the article, but an interesting piece in the TU today on possibility of some big chip fab business in New York.
Actually,
at least, maybe.
Technology, anyway.
Yeah.
This is a story by our tech writer, Larry Rulison. It turns out that over the weekend, the chairman of Foxconn Technology Group, and that's the big company in China that builds iPads, iPhones, all those things for Apple. They are an extraordinarily efficient operation. They want to open a plant in the U.S. They want to spend $7 billion to manufacture flat panel display screens in the U.S. And he says that he wants to hear from states. He wants to hear offers. And you ought to do it quick because I'm talking to Pennsylvania and I'm about to sign with them. But if you hurry quickly, I'll listen to your idea. Well, as it turns out, Larry points out that just a few weeks ago, we reported that a deal fell through from an Austrian chip manufacturer to build a $2 billion plant outside the Marcy Nano Center, which is part of SUNY Poly.
By Utica.
Out near Utica, right. And they have this shovel-ready site. They have it all approved for a technology use, and the state has set aside $600 million to support it. He is suggesting that the state ought to go and start talking to Terry Zhao, the Foxconn chairman. The state economic development office that would do that is kind of being mum about it, but there's speculation, obviously.
It's hard to believe, Mikey, that they haven't done that.
That they haven't, right. Yeah. I think that's pretty much – they wouldn't talk about it. But, it would be unlikely they would talk about
it. But isn't the real backstory here – and I know Rosemary has done some interesting work on this – that Alain Calieros was indicted, and that everything has fallen
for bid rigging on both state and federal charges.
And he was the head of the
whole business.
Right. And the real story here is that things really fell apart after that. Cuomo gave the whole thing to one of his development guys. I don't know, but it hasn't really picked up. So this is a disaster for SUNY Poly and for everything around and all the chip stuff.
That's exactly right. There's been a lot of criticism that it has not been able to recover from the indictments or the announcement that Alain Calieros would be charged in these federal and this state case. As a result, even though the governor has put new people in place to run it, a few setbacks, not to mention others, too, besides the chip plant that is no longer going to be built out near Utica. There's a couple other setbacks. The consortium of international chip makers is going to let that contract expire. That was based here at the SUNY Poly in Albany. And people are complaining that it doesn't have the oomph in the leadership that it needs. Getting together and offering a sweet deal to Foxconn and landing that factory, a $7 billion factory in New York State, would probably do a lot to reverse that notion.
Now, Foxconn, do we know why? Is it mentioned in the article why they want to move from China, where labor is arguably much cheaper?
Well, what happens is these high-tech companies that have to build these very high-tech chips and flat screens, et cetera, they can save a lot of money by making it in the country where they sell it. They can leverage one country against another to get tax breaks and to get grants. The huge chip manufacturing plant in southern Saratoga County, Global Foundries, was built partly because of a $1.3 billion grant from New York State by Governor Pataki's administration. And so when they leverage all these things together, they can make it work.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Allen and team, I differ with the previous letter that said we don't build high-quality products in the USA. We build consumer electronics in New York, if you can believe it, and they are so well-made, we offer a lifetime warranty, and your kids will fight over it when they're gone. Here's where I differ from the previous letter writer. It is very difficult to get Americans to value the quality of and American-made aspects. They really want cheap consumer goods that are ultimately thrown away, and that's from Roger, who is the president and chief engineer of a high fidelity firm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
see that.
Interesting.
That's what he says, yeah.
I like high fidelity.
Good point.
Stuff.
He
makes a
letter.
Really good point.
He does.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
Oh, I'll have to look
that
one up.
And Stephen. Stephentown. With Stephentown with a PH, right? Stephentown,
right,
New York?
That's correct.
Right. They stole
Stephen
the sign and nobody ever returned it.
It neither matters or is interesting.
Oh, I see.
Or is that neither?
Or is it just
Let's call the whole thing off.
On the official White House Gov's website, under the participate heading, there are several We the People petitions, including ones asking for Trump's tax returns, 300,000 signatures, and divestiture of business interests, 89,000 signatures. I don't know if he reads them, but they are on his office website. Thanks for the roundtable. Go, Rosemary!
Go, Rosemary.
Go, Rosemary. That's an affirmation. It's not asking
no.
you to
yeah,
leave.
No. That's get out, Rosemary. That's a different thing.
And Lisa says, you Democrats are ridiculous with the James Comey comments. You could go to the Board of Elections in Massachusetts and look me up. I'm not a Democrat.
You can go to the Board of Elections in New York, and I am not.
Yeah,
a Democrat.
You could go to the Board of Elections, but I believe that's private information in both those states.
Well, except I'm telling
the electoral
you.
Electoral rolls?
I think so.
Oh, no, I think it's absolutely public.
Florida, it's public.
If you're an enrolled Democrat, you can get a list. The Democratic Party.
I'm interested. You Democrats are ridiculous, and with the James Comey comments, Hillary Clinton mishandled the classified information as Secretary of State and had foreign governments such as Saudi Arabia contributing to the Clinton Foundation. In July 2016, Comey did not indict Hillary Clinton. He had every reason to do so.
Well, and your law degree is from where?
Yes.
President Trump calls a lawsuit filed Monday against him without merit, totally without merit. Ethics attorneys are suing him for allowing his businesses to accept payments from foreign governments in violation of the Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The lawsuit was filed Monday in the Southern District of New York by the liberal-funded watchdog Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Trump says he has handed over control of his global real estate and licensing empire to his two adult sons, but he's retaining a financial stake in the business, even while in the White House, which is a break from tradition, if not from the law.
So, Rosemary, isn't that Zephyr Teachout's group that's doing that?
Zephyr is one of the attorneys on the case, and she has interestingly and accurately said it's opened up a whole new area of corruption, which is the interesting part to me. This is a 49-word section of the Constitution that has never been contested in any way in court. You have the First Amendment, for example, which there's something like more than 200 years worth of case law, which refines exactly what the words mean. There is nothing on this clause because we've never had anyone as rich or as bold and as uncaring of tradition as Donald Trump.
What do you expect will happen?
I think that this suit is going to go nowhere. I don't think they have standing. I think the court will find you don't have the right to come to court.
Well, aren't
they
citizens?
They are citizens, but the case law, Supreme Court law, is pretty strong that you have to be actually hurt by a law in order to challenge it. And there's no real harm against the organization.
Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of thing that if somebody withstanding were able to make the case, it still would take forever to line through the courts and probably beyond President Trump's first term of office.
True. If you have, for example, a hotel in Washington saying they have an unfair advantage because, of course, foreign places are going to want to go and suck up to basically the president of the United States by using his hotel, they would have standing. But Mike is right. It would take years for that to wind its way through the federal court system.
And I don't
still,
think a competitor
important.
Hotel would want
to
go on the
and
record
they would have to,
as opposing the Trump administration
exactly.
because that would cost them
exactly.
more business.
They would have
probably.
To challenge the president. It's just a vastly interesting area where nothing is going to happen. Trump will get away with this. But it is important that the effort be made, the legal battle be waged.
I just want to say, Ray, I've seen that word a few times over the years.
Yeah.
Never heard it pronounced so well as you pronounce it.
You know, it's fun to say emoluments. It reminds me of an ingredient in a hand lotion.
Absolutely.
It's full of delicious emollients.
Doesn't it come from a whale?
I don't know.
Whale emollient? I'm not going any further.
It's good that we can joke about these things.
Okay.
There's the serious one.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
And Jennifer, who is an Elsa County legislator.
You only got about 20 seconds there, Daddy.
According to a report I heard last night on NPR, our federal workforce is the smallest it has been since 1966.
Well, I don't know what. Right, slowly. Come on. See, you have enough time.
First, you tell me.
Enunciate.
The federal workforce is as small as it's been since 1966, but that's largely due to contracting a lot of work out.
Yeah.
Right, and pushing it back at the states, too. The states have to pick up a lot of work. So,
Mike Spain from the Times Union, Rosemary Armeo from UAlbany, Alan Shartok of WAMC, you're all dismissed. Thank you very much. You have done very well. The email address is panel@wamc.org. I recommend you don't send stuff in the middle of the night because it won't make the show. Send it while we're on the air.
Yeah.
And feed the lockbox. We'll be back.